بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله ويقول الله سبحانه وتعالى for this opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir, this 20th day of Ramadan, 1426 years after the hijrah of our noble prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina. Alhamdulillah, we shall today as usual continue from where we stopped, and that is Surah Al-Baqarah, and the last ayah we treated was the 30th ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah. Insha'Allah, today we shall start with the 31st ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah. Where is our Qari? No, thank you. Okay. Is anybody replacing her? He's being on God's visa. You want to replace him?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان. من جاءك لها صما رغبنا الملائكة فقال أنبئوني بأسماء أولى فقال أنبئوني بأسماء هؤلاء إن كنتم صادقين.
الله says وعلم آدم الأسماء كلها ثم عرضهم على الملائكة فقال أنبئوني فقال أنبئوني بأسماء هؤلاء إن كنتم صادقين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the creation of Adam alayhi salam. Human beings as a whole, you know, and he was going to start with the new Adam alayhi salam. And he was telling the malaika, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. And they say, قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So when he told the malaika that he was going to create human beings and place on earth, the malaika started questioning that. And they were asking Allah if there was any hikmah behind that creation, when they had been made to know that the human beings to be created, they are going to sin against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That some of us were going to be disobedient, some of us were even going to spill blood, and so on and so on. Why would people who shed blood be created on earth, when they, the malaika, were already existing and worshipping Allah and obeying His rules? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know that which you do not know. then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now going to start telling them, showing them those things that were the hikmah behind the creation of human beings. Those things which human beings will possess, which the malaika do not even possess. Because like we say, some ulama say that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was saying, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in response to what the malaika said. Because the malaika said, وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. And Allah said, I know that which you do not know. So it's not true that all of you are completely obedient to Allah. There's one of you who is going to be disobedient, but you do not know that. But I know. Some of the ulama say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling the malaika that when he said, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, that you think because of limited knowledge that human beings are going to all disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That human beings are all going to be murderers. Human beings are all going to be either dissidents, rebels, and so on. That's what you know. Because as far as your little limited knowledge takes you, that is all that you have seen about human beings. But Allah is saying, I know that which you do not know. Which means, I know the good aspects of the human beings which you do not know. Human beings are not completely bad like you think they are. So there are going to be anbiya amongst them. There are going to be awliya amongst them. There are going to be al-abrar, people who will be very obedient, people who will submit to Allah, people who will be as-siddiqun, people who will be as-shuhada, as-salihun, al-rusul, al-anbiya, and so on and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that, but the malaika did not know. So he's now going to start telling them those things that he knew and still knows, which they did not and still do not know. There are some things that Allah knows, of course, a lot of things that the malaika at that time did not know, and the malaika today do not know and will never know. Because if anybody becomes as knowledgeable as Allah is, and that will never be. That will now mean that we have two Allahs, and there's nothing like Allah, in fact. Because in Arabic, the word is in Arabic, and the word has no plural in Arabic. It has no dual, it has no, you know, feminine. It's just Allah is there alone, and it's Allah, the only word in Arabic that is like that. Because it is meant for the being that has no equal. So he has no equal in anything. There's nobody equal to him in knowledge, nobody equal to him in wisdom, nobody equal to him in strength, in power, majesty, anything you can think of. Even in time, there's nobody, there's nothing as big as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing. So nobody will know as much as Allah knows. Therefore, there are a lot of things that Allah knows that malaika today do not even know. The anbiya do not know. They did not know and do not know now, and they will never know. There are some things Allah knows which nobody will ever know. He will just leave that knowledge to himself and himself alone. So Allah told the malaika, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know that which you do not know. And one of the things will be what we shall, inshaAllah, be taking in this ayah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now started, wanted to start showing the malaika those things which he knew, which he did not know. That's one. Secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to start telling the malaika and also the human beings. The reason why anybody becomes great, and the reason why we can be justified to say that A is better than B. The only reason we have, or the first reason, and among the only reasons that we have to say this man is better than the other man, is what Allah is going to start telling the Malaika, and of course by implication is going to start telling the human being. But if Allah tells you this person is better than you, accept it, because there has to be a reason. If amongst us we want to know who is better, because Allah says for so and so responsibility, give to so and so, who will of course be better than you, how do we know who is better? Allah is going to start telling us. And he says, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. The Malaika did not want to accept. If they had a choice, they would probably not have accepted the decision to create Nabi Adam. They wouldn't have accepted him in the first place in their midst. They would have stopped if they had done it. But they didn't, because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to do a thing, nobody can stop it. So because Allah had willed that Adam would be created, he was. But the Malaika at the beginning did not like that, because they felt that there was no reason for it. So Allah now wanted to tell them, no, there is a reason, and there is something that you will see in his creation which you never saw. So after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, he now says, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now taught Adam alayhi salatu wassalam the names of some things which he had created. There are so many stories about what the things were. Wallahu alam, I don't know any that is authentic, so I'll just leave it as the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salatu wassalam some things, the names of some things that he had created. And then, ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. After he had taught Adam the names, he now took the same things and showed the Malaika the same things, the names of which he had told Adam, and he now asked the Malaika to tell me the names of these things, to tell him the names of those things which he had already taught Adam. ثم عرضهم على الملائكة فقال أنبئوني بأسماء هؤلاء. And he said to the Malaika, أنبئوني, tell me, give me a story. That means, tell me the names of these things which I have created. And quantum sadiqin. If you are telling the truth, when you stop. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling the Malaika, if what you claimed was true, because you were saying that you are better than human beings, you were also insinuating that there is only bad as far as the human being is concerned. The human being can only do fasad, he can only do, you know, commit murder. That's the only thing you know human beings do. If that is true, tell me the names of these things. Hello?
قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم.
قال الملائكة الله سبحانه وتعالى قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. He said, we glorify your name, O Allah. لا علم لنا, we know nothing إلا ما علمتنا except that which you have taught us. innaka antal alimul hakim. You verily, O Allah, are the most knowledgeable and the most and the wisest, the one with the best wisdom, and the one that knows more than any other person. So we submit, we agree that we know nothing, that you know, and what you know is the actual knowledge. We know nothing. Because we have now realized that we do not know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking them to explain. If you are talking about being better, or in fact being good at all, if you are thinking that you are good at all, not even better than another person, the first thing you should be that you know, you have knowledge. Because people who are ignorant, people who have no knowledge, Allah, they hardly anything good about them. Allah was going to tell the malaika that there are good things about the human being he's going to create. That it's not only fasad, it's not only murder, it's not only disobedience to Allah that the human beings possess. Those are not the only things we can do. Of course, some of them will be disobedient, some of them will be stubborn, some of them will be murder, some of them will be cheats, and so on. But that's not the only ability they have. It's not only the ability to do bad that human beings have. Human beings are also good, and there are good people amongst them. And like the ulama explained, which we read yesterday, the ulama said that this goodness has to do with nubuwa, that some of them would be prophets. Some of them would be ar-risala, some of them would be rusul, some of them would be messengers of Allah. And it has to do with as-sidq, some of them would be as-siddiqun. It has to do with al-wilayah, some of them would be awliya, some of them would be friends of Allah. All these virtues that have been linked to the human being are coming as a result of one thing, knowledge, al-ilm. That's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show the malaika that they were wrong, the first thing he used was knowledge. If somebody is more knowledgeable than you are, whether you accept it or not, that person is automatically better than you. Because that person who do not know is not comparable to that person who knows. What does Allah think about that? هَلْ يَسْتَوِ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Can you compare those who know to those who do not know? Can they be the same? They are not the same. شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah bears witness to the fact that Allah is alone. There is no partner to Him in anything. In worship, in creation, in anything. والملائكة, and even the ملائكة bear witness to that fact. And then he says, وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ. وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ, and also those who have knowledge. He has mentioned himself, he has mentioned the malaika, but he's giving special mention to those who have knowledge. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Surah Al-Hashr, is it Surah Al-Hashr? Huh? Or is it Surah Al-Mujadala? He talks about those who have knowledge too. In Surah Al-Mujadala, what does he say? Yarfa'i. Not Yarfa'u. Yarfa'i. Yarfa'i, not Yarfa'u. Is it Yarfa'u or Yarfa'i? Is it Yarfa'i or Yarfa'u? Don't be looking at me like Luke of the Bible. Yarfa'i, because of the way the statement came, is not Yarfa'u. Okay, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those of you who have knowledge, ordinarily those who have iman, those who simply believe, those who say La ilaha illallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate them, raise them in rank. But then, those who have knowledge will be higher than those who simply just say La ilaha illallah without knowledge. So that even before you say La ilaha illallah, the La ilaha illallah will be true, you have to have some knowledge. But then if somebody possesses more knowledge than you do, that person will be more important to Allah than you will be. Allah has talked about knowledge and its virtues a lot in the Quran. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam also talked about knowledge and its virtues in the hadith, in his ahadith. A lot of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about knowledge. So Allah is telling the malaika here that the human beings are better than you think. In fact, that human being who possesses knowledge is better to Allah than the malaika, even though they do not offend Allah, because of part of the knowledge that they will obtain which the malaika will not have. And which is why some ayah to come later will come and explain more, which is why the malaika will be asked to do some things to human beings, which the human beings will never do to the malaika and should never do. If any human being does that thing to the malaika, he is committing an offense. But for the malaika to have done that to the human being, they were obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason is knowledge. Knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, that's about the most important thing to happen to any human being. That's why if one has knowledge, even if you are knowledgeable, if the person is more knowledgeable than you are, then forget it. If you like, be the son of the king. If you like, be the son of the richest man in the world. If you like, be anything. If that person knows more than you do, that person is more important than you are. Knowledge is what makes one important. Knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, and then working with the knowledge that you have. Because those who possess knowledge without working, without acting in accordance with their knowledge, are not as important as those who possess knowledge and also put it in action. So, when the malaika be alive, they now say, Subhanaka la ilma lana, illa ma alimtana. The malaika have also shown Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here that they are noble creatures of Allah. Because the thing that is noble about any creature of Allah, any creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is for that being, either amongst the malaika or the jinns or the human beings, to be able to say, I have wronged myself, I have committed a mistake, I have committed a sin, and I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive my sin. If any person is able to do this, he is also bringing honor to himself. You will also see that the first kafir in the world became a kafir because he was not able to do this. If you are wrong, you know that you are wrong. What you have done is wrong. You have realized that you were wrong. What makes you an honorable person is your ability to there and then say, yes, I was wrong. Once you can say this, you have solved most of your problems. We have heard the story of the murderer in an authentic hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who murdered 99 people. And in fact murdered 100 people. Out of these 100 people, there was one of them who used to worship Allah a lot. He murdered all these people. Yet, when he said to Allah, forgive me, Allah forgive him. Without actually even beginning to either perform salah or anything, he didn't mention to us that he had performed salah or anything. He just said, Astaghfirullah. I repent. I regret. And I will never do it again. And Allah said, I forgive you. He died like that, and Allah gave him al-Jannah. There was another person who said he has committed, you know, he has made so many mistakes in his life. He had committed so many sins that he felt that Allah would never forgive him. He said that there was nothing he could do to earn Allah's forgiveness. But at least he realized that he had made a mistake. And he regretted making the mistake. But he didn't know that there was any way Allah, there was anything he could do that would make Allah forgive him. He didn't know that. He thought that his mistakes were so much, that his sins were so many, that there was no way he could be forgiven. So he said to his people, if I die, burn my corpse, don't leave me like that. If you burn, you know, the ash that you will now have, take some, throw in this, if you like, river or sea, and take some other and throw in the other sea, so that the river will flow to different directions with the ash, so that nobody will ever see it. So that he thought that even Allah could not get to him, if he was so scattered. So that Allah would just, you know, forget him, if he can't get him. Immediately after he had done that, after he died, the children did as he said, and scattered the earth, then Allah put him back together. And then he asked him, why did you do what you did? Because I realized I had offended you, and I was afraid that you would punish me if I got back to you, and so I asked them to do that, so that you would leave me alone. But now you are in front of me. He said, yes. He said, because you realized that you had made a mistake, and you regretted, and you were afraid of my punishment, I forgive you. It wasn't also mentioned that the man did anything. But to just realize that, yes, it's a sin I'm committing, and I ask for Allah's forgiveness, that is enough. That is enough to elevate you. So don't be like the people that we have these days. Or pray to Allah that you never become jahilun murakkab. That person who does not know and does not realize. He does not know that he does not know. He doesn't know, and he doesn't know that he doesn't know. Wallahi, this is terrible. I was told that an alim in Kaduna was delivering a lecture, and he was talking about this Child Rights Act. That's the latest thing now. It is being used to distract our attention from serious issues. But there are going to be some acts now to protect the rights of the child. You can't beat your child, you can't do this, you can't do that, and so on. Even when Allah says beat your child, that act says you can't beat your child then. You still have some right to do this, to do that, and there's nothing you can do about it. So that maybe when that act is signed and we start implementing it here, you can't tell your child, get up and go to the mosque. Your child can tell you, no, I don't feel like going to the mosque, leave me alone. Rasul said, if he's 10 years old, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask him to go to the mosque, he refuses, you can flog him, so that he will go to the mosque. But the act will say, don't flog him, leave him alone, he has a right to decide that he's going to be an atheist. Nothing wrong with that. And the alim was saying that this could lead one to kufr, that this act should be shunned by Muslims. It's not part of our value system. And one woman just got up there and said she was the wife to the governor. You know? And so she asked for the mic that she was going to talk. I mean, wife of the governor. Who are you to say no? So she grabbed the mic and she started talking. Why should the island speak like that? Why should he say that? And she was saying, for your information, I am amongst those people who are signing that, who are advocating those acts. That she is amongst the people saying that, yes, she is amongst the people supporting those acts, those child rights. he supports the act and will be implemented. Why should the Supreme Court say that? There are children begging. There are children doing this. There are children doing this. She did not realize that her getting up there like that, her appearance like that, the way she did, was also supposed to be fought. Eh? The rights of men not to see her like that to be protected. What is she doing about that? What is she doing about that? Is there any act to protect men from seeing people like her in their midst? It's the rights of the children she's talking about, the rights of the men there that were sitting, looking at her without her hijab, and looking, and probably, you know, she probably got there with her perfumes on and so on. She didn't care what the rights of the men there were. What she cared about was the right of probably denied. The government must make sure that the child worships Allah alone. That's what the wife of the governor should be doing to every child. You have to be giving the child the right that Allah has not given him or her. So she got up there and showed her ignorance. Fortunately, I didn't see that, because I delivered my lecture immediately after the Ali, Muhammad bin Uthman. Fortunately for her, I didn't know that she had done that to the Ali. Maybe I wouldn't have been allowed to finish my lecture. But I didn't know. I was only told after the lecture that this was she did. But we pray that we will not be like that. But when we have been taught something we do not know, and we now realize that we didn't know it, we should accept first of all that we didn't know. If we did anything wrong, and somebody who knows is telling us that what we did was wrong, the first thing we should do is to say, Astaghfirullah. Then we say to Allah, La ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. If you do not teach us a thing, we do not know it, no matter how much we think we know. If you have not taught us, then we accept that we do not know. That's what makes you a human being. The reason why the kuffar are referred to as animals, and in fact being worse than domestic animals, is that they do not realize that they do not know. And they do not recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the all-knowing. They think that the human being could sometimes know more than Allah, or know as much as Allah. This is never possible. But the human being can decide for himself what is good, and that will be seen to be good. That's the reason why they are kuffar. And so the difference between you and them will be that you will never be like that. You always realize that you do not know. You accept that you do not know, and that only Allah knows. سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Then Allah said what?
قَالَ يَا آدَمُ أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ قَالَ أَلَمْ أَكُنْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وأعلم ما تبدون وما كنتم تكتمون.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said after that, قال يا آدم, Allah said, O Adam, أنبئهم بأسمائهم. Now that they have realized that there are some things they do not know. And now that they have said they do not know the names of these things, أَمْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ, tell them the names of those things. فَلَمَّا أَمْبَاهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ, when Adam alayhi salam, you know, told them the names of those things, قَالْ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, Allah then said to the Malaika, did I not tell you that I know that which is hidden in the heavens and the earth. وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ. I know all that you make manifest. وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. And that I know all that you hide. All that you hide, you do not show. All that is not known about you by other people, I know. And that all that you have made known, I also know all of this. Didn't I tell you that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was now telling the malaika. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he told them this, first of all, made them realize that there were some things he had shown Adam which he did not, which he did not show them. So there are some things that Adam knew which they did not know. Let's remember that these malaika know so much that it will now be said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam some things that they did not know. It means that the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the human beings with is so great. Because you see, the malaika, they mean everything. Remember, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam told us in his authentic hadith that some things that even human beings now do not know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the malaika know them. They know so much. You see, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that the creation of one of you in his mother's womb takes about four different stages. First of all, a drop of sperm. Then, a clot of blood. Then flesh. Bones, and then life. Isn't it? Now, those four stages. Apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows these stages as they go on? Apart from Allah, who knows them? The malaika also know them. As they're going on in those stages, the malaika know them, the time that they happen, the time that the human being now gets the life blown in him. The malaika know all of that because Allah does all of that through them. Isn't it? After you have been given life, that's when you are how old? In your mother's womb? That's when you are how old? 4 months. When you have now been given life, the malaika will still be commanded to write 4 things about you. And what are those? You didn't mention rape. Is it amongst them? Is it rape or Adam? You mentioned Adam. Is it Adam or rape? Some people mentioned rape. Some people mentioned, you mentioned Adam. Both were you? That means 5 things. Because he mentioned Amal, Ajal, or Shakrin Al Sa'id. And you are also some rib, so that's 5 now. Who knows that again? Tell us. Who knows? Who again after him? Because he sounds very sure. Do you know any other thing? I don't know why you sit here. Each time I ask, you refuse to answer. You keep sitting here, you refuse to answer. You sit here because you should be helping, but you refuse to. You just look like a book of Luke. Do you know any other thing? So that the malaika are commanded to write those. They know them. Isn't it? They know them. The only thing they do not know that has to be with this time. It's Yawm al-Qiyamah. But are you going to hell or al-Jannah? No. Because the evil righteous. Isn't it? Yes. So that means they know almost everything about you. So, and that's why you think, since they know that much, they already know that this person is going to do this and that. So why create him? Because Allah has said. Allah now told them that there are some things that this human being also know. That you thought were just simple, everybody can see them, but you will know them and you will not know them. So no matter how much you know, there are some things that you thought were unimportant that you do not even know. No matter how much you think you know. If you want to test human beings in this life, just go to where they're doing the musabaka of the Quran and you'll be surprised. Don't even go that far. Come to this university now. Wallahi, and give some people in the math department, 500 level. Give them some primary level mathematics now. You'll be surprised, they will say. Huh? They will say. Primary school. You tell them some things in primary school and your life forgotten. As much as you think you know, simple things Allah will test you with and you won't even know them. Because you thought they were unimportant. When you go to the Masabaka, you find that somebody is given Surah Al-Baqarah. You just quote it and he will be reciting. Very beautiful voice, which he reads. They will tell him, they can even tell him to, if they like, recite with the Riwayat Al-Khalaf and Hamza, he will recite. They will say, Hafsul Duri, he will recite. He will recite, you know? Like that. Baqarah, Al-Imran, Nisa, this, that. Then all of a sudden the man would just come and say, وَالنَّافِعَاتِ. Then he say, complete it. You know? And the Hafiz will say, وَالنَّافِعَاتِ. Do not know how to continue. What you thought you knew, you didn't after all know. Only Allah knows everything. And that's what every Muslim should say and believe. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now told Adam the names of those things and he told them. And he told them the names. And then Allah was now telling the Malaika that I, and only I, that's Allah, only I will know all that is manifest and hidden. Only Allah. You should have accepted that in the first place. But you thought you knew. You were already passing judgment on things you did not know, thinking that you knew. Because you knew so much about it, you felt that you knew everything about it. That thing you call so much is nothing. You know, when Khidr alayhi salam taught Nabi Musa a lot of things he did not know. And the authentic hadith says that both of them, before they departed with, were shown, you know, by a river, and then they saw a bird. That bird just hit a drop of water from the either river or sea or ocean. Just put a drop of water, you know, pecked at the water and took a sip. And then Allah said, told them that all those things you now know are not up to that drop of water in that bird's mouth now. Out of Allah's knowledge, what you just got to know. Because what Khidr taught Nabi Musa could not even understand in the beginning. He never could understand how that could be done. And he kept thinking that these were strange things. Why should somebody do this? And Khidr would have thought, yes, he knew a lot that Nabi Musa did not know. Because he had to even explain to him, Nabi Musa, after seeing them, could not understand why such things should be done. Until they were explained. And now Allah is saying, as much as you now know, that what this bird has picked from here is more than what you know. So no matter how much you get to know, you must always tell yourself that what you think you know is nothing. Especially when compared to what Allah knows. You can't even compare it to what Allah knows. what you know on its own is nothing compared to what you do not know. Out of all the, we know a lot of animals that Allah has created. There are animals on land, there are living things in the sea, in the belly of the sea. If you say that the ones in the belly of the sea are more than the ones on earth, how many animals on earth do you know? How many animals on land, I mean, do you know? Because the belly of the sea is also the earth, isn't it? How many animals on land do you know? Out of the ones we have in the world, only two. How many do you know? You probably do not know up to 300. You probably do not know up to 50. Alarama. You may not be able to mention 50 now. And only God knows how many animals we have on land. If the ones in the belly of the sea are more than the other ones. And the biggest so far that we now know is up to 100 adult elephants put together. That is in the belly of the sea. The biggest we have is somewhere where most of us will never see it. Do you understand the hikmah? That the biggest things on this earth are not seen by these eyes. So the most knowledge is hidden. That's the one in the belly of the earth, of the sea. What is the one within the earth in the soil, the ones, the things in the soil? All the ones in the belly of the seas and that we have are more than the ones on land. What is the ones buried here in the ground? You know that one time some people were digging a well and they discovered something. They made a find. You know what? They found a human being who had been buried 16 years ago. They found him alive. They found him alive in this sand right now. They found him alive. It was not a hole, it was not anything. It was sand like this. It was mashed in there. For 16 years, they brought him out and life continued. So that's why we see that the Muslim believes more in the things that his eyes cannot see than he believes in the things that his eyes can see. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. So Allah says, إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض وأعلم ما تبدون وما كنتم تكتمون. So there were some things that the malaika made open, and that was the iman. Allah told everybody to see the iman in the open. He said that they believed in Allah, they worshipped Allah and the rest. But there was one of them that we keep mentioning, who was not even amongst the malaika, but he was in their midst. He was amongst the jinn. In the open, everybody thought he was a mu'min. None of the malaika thought that some of those offenders they are talking about that should not be created was already, one of them was already in their midst. They didn't know. Did they? If they had known, they would have asked Allah why he created him. Because they were asking Allah, why will you create these ones and they will offend you? He didn't know that already an offender was in their midst. And I know that which you make open and I know that which is hidden. And I'm going to make it open so that everybody will know. You know that? That's the implication of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling the malaika. I'm stuck here in time. I'm not feeling too well today. So I've just managed to get this far. We'll answer the question, even though you have not yet told me it's time. But we'll stop here because we can't take the next hour. Inshallah, tomorrow, I hope that I'll be a little, if not a lot better than I am today. We'll continue, inshallah. So the ayah we're going to take next will be وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. So this one says, is there any human being that has entered Al-Jannah before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, because I heard that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam will be the first person to enter Al-Jannah. Yes, I do not know of anybody after Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. But this issue of entering Al-Jannah first is Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Okay? The resurrection. But whether Allah has admitted anybody now, as we are now, I don't know. This one says, please throw more light on a madam who prayed for kuffar, that Allah should give them a jannah. She has position in government. Okay. Maybe the late wife of Obasanjo. Whether he says it or not. Whether he prays that he should be given a jannah or not. Fortunately, there are no two Allah. There is only one Allah who decides who should go to Al-Jannah or who should go to hell. And there is an authentic hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he told us what to say when you pass by the grave of the kafir. Yeah? Tell him that there is hellfire waiting for you. Welcome to the Jahannam club. That's what you must say each time you pass by the grave of a kafir. So that's what Muslims will say. Non-Muslims will say, may Allah forgive him or forgive her. But the Muslims will say, Jahannam al-Ajira. What is that? The Muslims will just say to her, Jahannam is waiting for you. The non-Muslims or the munafiqun will say, may she be blessed or may she be forgiven by Allah. Whether you say that or not, it will not change what Allah has decreed. If a man or a woman dies as a kafir or kafira, جهنم خالدين فيها أبدا سبحان الله. This one says, may Allah reward us all for our Ramadan fast. I mean, my question is that some people use this verse to justify the fact that someone can help another in examination. I want you to clarify this statement because our exam is quite approaching. Which verse? What connection is there between that ayah and teaching somebody an exam? That Allah said to Adam, teach them. So he's also saying to human beings, teach them. I think they have to answer their question. They are not connected. It's wrong for people to do that. Because in the case of Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Adam to teach them. In your own case, who said you should teach? In your own case, in the exam hall, who said you should teach? Is it Allah also? In Adam's case, it was Allah that should teach them. This one says, Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. Please, I want to really know the truth about the observance of Salatul Tasbih. Some people say it is a bid'ah, and some part of the Sunnah used to do it. I don't want to miss the word therein. Explain if it is permissible or not. The hadith is an authentic hadith. And it is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to perform Salatul Tasbih at least once in your life. At most, no number. Tasbih as much as you can, but at least once. It is sahih. But then, those who say it is a bid'ah have a reason. And the reason is that some ulama before us used to say that the hadith was not authentic. There were some ulama who said it was not authentic before they said it was a lie. Because they did not know the truth of the hadith.
هكذا حديث أو تنسك تشتك سلسلة الحديث الصحيحة بالتخريج أو بالحديث بها أو تنسك عن السمود الوان from Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما. It is an authentic hadith, no doubt about it. So you can say it. May have a lot of reward. What? Okay, how to perform the salah? It's two rakats, no two or four. Four rakats, sorry. It is four rakats. And if you start it, it has the first rak'ah, subhanAllah, it has 75 tasbih for each rak'ah, 75. So when you do two rak'ahs, you have 150, when you do another two rak'ahs, you have 150. The first rak'ah, I mean the first time you're going to do the tasbih in the first rak'ah, there will be 15. Subsequent tasbih will be 10, 10, 10. So that 6 with this one, that's 15. 6 with 10, 10 will add to 75 for each. And you start with the tasbih and then with the tasbih and surah after your takbiratul ihram, and then you perform the ruku. And then you say سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده. Then you finish with that, you say your tasbih 10 times. Then you rise, you say 10 after your normal zikr there. That's how many now? That's 35. Then you go for sujood. After your zikr, you do 10, that's 45. You rise from the sujood and sit, your normal zikr, then you do 10. That's how many? 65. Yeah? Then you go for another sujood. 65. Then you rise and sit down. 10, 75. Then you rise. You keep repeating that until the end. Say? Operation? Yes, there's Khabriya Badi, yes, there is. Some people think that for Nawafil there is no Khabriya Badi, but there is. Second question is, is it wrong to sit in such a way that the legs will be pointed towards the Qibla or sleeping with legs facing east? I don't know what makes it wrong. I know some people point to the fact that it's wrong, but I don't know the hadith. I do not know the hadith. Is it right? Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah wa bihamdih. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى جعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضحة في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وسرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف تخلقت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
والفجر وليالي عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بعاد ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بعاد إرم ذات العماد التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد وثمود الذي كسبوا الصخر بالواد وفرعون بالأوتاد الذين طغوا في البلاد فأكثروا فيها الفساد فصد عليهم ربك سوط عذاب إن ربك لبالمرصاد فأما الإنسان إذا ما ابتلاه ربه فأكرمه ونعمه فيقول ربي أكرمن وأما إذا